Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this session, Democratizing Data Science. So before we would like to start, we would first like to introduce ourselves. So my name is Kimberly Hermans. I'm one of the data scientists at Ordina Belgium. My main expertise lies within customer experience modeling and customer experience management. Besides being a data scientist, I'm also a practice manager of Data Talks. Here we combine big data technologies, data science, and visualization. The reason? Because we would like to have a breakdown of those silos that you see in the companies. And this is the only possibility or ability to get rid of those silos and to get return on value that companies are looking for.
Damian Wilkins, I'm a Microsoft BI consultant, and I'm also a competence center lead for Microsoft Advanced Analytics at Ordina. I tweet, I blog, and I have a user group that I co-lead. Read my blog if you have time. If not, attend one of my speaking events that I speak at, or just come to one of the events themselves. So, as Kimberly said, we work at Ordina. And at Ordina, we work specifically at the business unit VisionWorks, which is the BI competence center for Ordina. VisionWorks has this nice vision statement, which basically is a sales pitch. I don't do sales pitches, but in that sales pitch, I noticed these words that really captivate what VisionWorks means to me and what a great data culture means to me. And that's one of the parts you'll notice that comes back in the presentation itself. So what are we going to talk about today? Basically, we're going to focus on how you and how everyone in your organization can basically start doing data science with just the tools that Microsoft has provided you. And the tools really make the citizen data scientist, and Microsoft provides these tools for you. This all started back in 2015 when Amir Net and Kamal Hathi from Microsoft created a presentation that he gave at the North American CIO Summit. In this presentation, they basically went through the different stages of BI that came to be at Microsoft. This presentation from them led Kimberly and me to create our first democratizing data science presentation, which only used Power BI back then. But right now, there are more things that help us to democratize data science. So basically, the story goes like this. You always have the classic scenario where you have IT that has to provide reports to the end user. But the end user has a request time using a huge stack of papers. It takes a lot of time. It's a lot of hassle. Communication isn't always very good. After that, there came an age where self-service BI tools were more prevalent in the industry, where an end user could go to an analyst, and the analyst could just get the data, use the tools that were provided, and provide the end user with the insights that they need. But recently, mostly with Power BI and other innovations, we entered an age of data culture, where basically everyone can get data and get insights from those data, from the data. And I believe this is really great.
Models and getting raw insight from it, using that to take action. how can you actually get to that step where you start automating your the insights that you get from the data? Basically, it all starts with machine learning researchers. These are usually smart people, very smart people, with PhDs, working in academics, doing a lot of complicated stuff with math that personally I wouldn't understand at all. These people, they create algorithms that data scientists can actually start using. Data scientists use these algorithms on data. In most of the context that you get, the data gets used on the data that gets used is just tabular. So basically columns, rows, the thing that we all tend to know. These data scientists, when they implement, when they use the algorithm on the data, they get something that needs to be implemented in production, in an application, on a web page, somewhere else. And that's where machine learning engineers come into play. Machine learning engineers, they take whatever the data scientist made, and they make sure that the end user gets the result that is necessary, that they can take the action that is necessary. And this is the space where we see that citizen data scientists can actually provide value, where they can work. Citizen data scientists using the right tools, they can implement those difficult to understand algorithms, and they can actually put those things into production, make applications using them. So why would you want to do that? You have requirements going beyond BI. You always have those. When you have a regular BI application, you get the insights that you want because something happened, your manager asks, how many sales did I have? When your manager asks you, how many sales am I going to have in the next half year? It's very difficult for you to do that using regular tools. And this is where predictive models come into play, and where citizen data scientists can actually be of advantage, because there aren't a lot of data scientists that you can hire in your company to do those things. And even when you have these data scientists, they don't scale. You have a couple of data scientists because they're rare, they're very expensive. And when your manager has this question, well, how many sales am I going to have in the next half year? You want to have resources available to give those insights to the manager. Or in the best case, you want the manager to be able to even do it himself.
Data scientists are the business, or they are very close to the business. And we all know, unfortunately, with IT projects, the correlation between being close to the business and having them support and your success, highly correlated.
So how does a data science project work? Why do we think that a citizen data scientist can actually provide value? Because in a full week, a data scientist does ETL. That basically means he gets data from one or more sources and he pulls it to him, or he puts it in a database somewhere. After that, he starts looking at the data, and when he sees that there are values missing, he just fills in the blanks. Or when there are double values that are just spelled differently but mean the same, he replaces them. That is what data cleaning is. It's very simplified. So Kimberly would probably tell you a lot more about it if you come to us afterwards. But when you have the data that you're cleaning, you also want to know which data relates to the things that I want to predict. Because you always want to predict something like, for example, how many sales am I going to get? And when you have a lot of data, you have columns that predict the sales. For example, the things that you sold in the past. And you have the last step, which is the thing that data scientists actually do, the machine learning. With machine learning, you take these algorithms, like we said, and you put them on top of the data, and you get the predictions that your manager needs to actually make decisions. So this is the full process that a data scientist goes through. And this is where a citizen data scientist can actually come in and take work, the workload from a data scientist. But, of course, he needs some basic education on topics that are actually necessary in data science.
also, of course, I have to admit, a lot of my time everyone can do, so that's not nice. But what you do have to know, not being a data scientist to do data science, is at least have some knowledge about what type of algorithms are out there. So if I go briefly over them, you have four main categories. So right above, if you want to predict, for instance, house pricing, sales forecasts, and so on and so on, then you're going to predict values, and this is called regression. Next is classification, which gives you an answer to something. If your question is my employee going to leave? Yes or no. Is my customer happy? Yes, no. This is classification. The third type of category is association. We all know them, the recommender systems. I've bought X. I'm probably going to buy Y. Why? Because everyone else did. And the fourth category is clustering. Here we will look at the customer's behavior, try to group them by similarities. Clustering.
So basically, when I first saw these terms, I didn't know what most of them meant. I'm going to be honest with you about that. I took a course at the Microsoft Academy, the Microsoft Professional Program for Data Science, and there they explained to you what these terms mean. And after I took that course, which was 3 months long to just get into the introduction of data science, I learned that, well, you don't actually need to know these terms. There is a much simpler way to explain them.
And I have to admit, again, you don't need to know this is regression. You just need to know my answer of my problem should be a value. I have to predict values. Forget regression. Second one, I would like to find unusual or usual occurrences. This is fraud detection or the recommender systems. Just remember this. Then you would like to discover structure, the segmentations. Forget the word segmentations. You just want to group things. And finally, you want to predict a category. Is my customer happy or not? It's just predicting categories. That's all you need to know.
Microsoft knows that not everybody is as smart as Kimberly. So they made this nice chart for you, where you can just start with whatever you want to predict. And you can see, well, do I want to discover structure in my data? Do I want to predict values? And let's say we want to predict values, because we have this manager that wants to know how many sales he's going to get. Well, predicting values actually means you're going to do regression. And the next step, because you need to know which algorithm you need to put on top of your data. And don't get scared, because this really is scary the first time. You get this huge cheat sheet. And what would you say about this?
I would say it's handy. It's simple, and it has everything or almost everything you need to decide what algorithm you should use. So I would advise to use this sheet, which makes it possible, without knowing anything, to still select the right one.
Of course, selecting an algorithm is just half of the work, because when you have that algorithm, you need to follow some process. There are always processes that you need to follow. And there are a lot of processes that already exist. Most of these processes are very old. Microsoft even recently made a new one, the Microsoft Team Data Science process. And they all boil down to just the same thing, something which we know from regular BI. You need to define a goal. You need to have a question that you want to answer. Next, you want to collect the data, and you want to look at the data, which ones you have, which ones are relevant. Next up is building the model. And before I took that course in data science, that introduction, I have to say, I didn't know what building a model actually meant until, and I'm going to simplify this, don't get scared. Building a model basically means, in most of the cases, you just take a table of data, and that's it. That's very simplified, I know. Okay, but after you build that model, after you selected the columns that you think you need to predict the value, you can play around using tools like Azure Machine Learning, and you can evaluate, is this model that I built actually doing what I needed to do? That's evaluating your model. Afterwards, when you think you're right, you present your results, obviously, and you deploy it to production, and you start again with the cycle. So,
This might be a bit too simplified. I don't fully agree with Jan, but what is important and what I do believe is that you can build up a data science team with just one or two really highly educated data scientists, and the rest can be citizen data scientists. Perfectly possible. The only minimal requirement is that you create an open data culture. So each of the citizen data scientists should be able to speak out of their failures, their successes, new ideas, give them time to work on these new ideas, because you have to work together with them, just in the case that if something goes wrong, you can immediately adjust, so no horror stories, I will explain later on, will happen.
So of course, having a data scientist on your team and a lot of citizen data scientists isn't enough. You need tools to be able to have regular people like me pretend that they do data science, have these columns that they gather, and actually get insights out of them. So tooling is something very important, as we already stressed several times. One of the first tools that you need is Azure Data Catalog. As we know, as we saw in the schedule and the process, you need to discover your data, you need to get your data. And Azure Data Catalog actually makes it very handy for you, very easy for you, to register all your data into one place. It makes you able to, it enables you to annotate the data, so make notes from whatever you want. Some data for me might mean something different than the data might mean for Kimberly, or that it might mean for you. And after you have everyone annotate the data, it becomes very easy to search it, because Azure Data Catalog is a search engine for your data, and it becomes very easy to understand the data, understand what it means and what it might mean for the thing that you need to predict. At Azure Data Catalog, it's incredible. You can actually use it to connect to almost any data source, and from those data sources, you can even open it directly in Excel or Power BI. So that means search for something, click on the data source, and it pops up in Power BI, where you can start exploring it, start creating insights from it. So these are all the data sources that you can connect to. And usually when I present this, people ask me, well, how much does it cost? This can be a cheap tool. Well, it actually is. It's free. It starts for free at a maximum of 5,000 objects that you can catalog. But still, you can just log in right now, or after this presentation preferably, and start using the Azure Data Catalog. And even when you hit that limit, it costs $1 per user per month. That's even cheaper than Power BI. When I saw this, I just couldn't believe it. But that's the first tool you need. You need to discover your data. Of course, when you discovered your data, we saw you need to build a model. You need to make something predict a value.
So we know where the data is, what's in it, we're ready to do data science. One of the next tools are the cognitive services, of which there are other sessions in Techorama as well, by the way. So what is it? They are basically a collection of APIs which you can connect to get results of models. One of those APIs is the Vision API, where you can send your pictures to, and they will send back what the probability is of it being a dog or a cat or whatever. They also do image recognition and that face detection, emotion detection, and so on and so on. But you have to understand, in order to build such a model as a data scientist itself, it takes months and it takes a huge amount of data, which you no longer have to do. You just connect to the API and you have the results. The next API is the speech API, where you can get rid of your background noises, where you can do speaker detection, and so on and so on. You can combine this quite handy with the language API, and here you will do or start interpretation of your language. Finally, you will also have the knowledge and the search, Bing search API as well. Another tool for making your own models is Azure ML or Azure Machine Learning. Many have heard of it, probably. So what this is it's basically a layer over some programming, statistical programming tools like R and Python and so on. And this layer makes it possible to use drag and drop and still do data science in it. So it's a very easy way to learn and to do data science. So
let's have a look at it. Of course. When you have Azure Machine Learning, you can just log into it. You can create your own experiments. An experiment is just a fancy name for a predictive model, which we know is a collection of columns where you put an algorithm over it. Okay. So when you start creating an experiment, it's always blank. I have this data set that was used in the course that I took, the Microsoft Professional Program for Data Science. And that data basically just contains columns that tell you if a loan for someone was granted, yes or no. And some other columns that tell you more about a person for who the loan was. So here we see the loan wasn't granted, it wasn't paid back. We see the amount that was lent, etc. A lot of data. So next up, normally you would take one of these modules, or a lot of these modules, it depends, or you would code your own stuff in R or in Python, and you would try to get more and more insights from it. And after the course, I discovered the Cortana Intelligence Gallery, which has this fancy module called Recommend Modules. And if you have Recommend Modules, what it does, it looks at your data, and it tends to it analyzes the data that you have there, and it comes back to you with an answer that tells you, well, what should you do with the data? What modules should you pick? Here it tells me, well, you need to pick the module clean missing data, and you need to use that module on these two columns, credit score and annual income, because the clean missing data module replaces missing values. So there are actually missing values in these columns. I didn't have to do much to get this insight. It also tells me, well, you need to only select certain columns or not select certain columns, because loan ID, customer ID, monthly debt. It tells me, well, you have to remove these because these are unique. And it's very hard to start predicting things when everything is unique. So there are no trends to be analyzed. But it also tells us you need to use feature hashing, extract n-gram features from text, which at first I didn't even know what this meant until after the course. I learned that, well, you don't need to do this. The module recommends you something based on the programming it has, but in this case it is wrong. And that's why it's important to either have a real data scientist with you or have the training to get the knowledge that you can make correct decisions. So if you go here, if you want to clean data, you can just, of course, have to type something correctly, clean missing data. Whoop. This is just a module. It recommends me the modules that I actually need. And because we know which columns we need to get, we can just copy these, click on the module, launch a column selector, and in here we can say, well, I only want to select certain columns. Let me make this blank for a moment. So we only need to select certain columns. In our case, credit score and annual income. And next we can just run our experiment. It does its thing. And again, we can use afterwards this recommend modules, use the output from the clean missing data module to see what step should I do next. Very, very useful, incredible even. So this is just Azure Machine Learning, a very, very basic tutorial. We could do an hour long, a week long presentation about this even. This is just the basics. One of the more fancy things is the Cortana Intelligence Gallery. Well, No, gallery. The Cortana Intelligence Gallery has everything that you need to get started. It has solutions, for example. And these solutions are a one-click solution with a reference architecture in them. So for example, if you want to look at loan credit risk, we can take it. One of the examples that I always use, because there are a lot of solutions pre-built here, is a demand forecasting and price optimization. I should still have it open. If you go to demand forecasting and price optimization, you get this entire explanation that tells you, well, what does it do? Why should you do this? What does it look like? How does it work? And there are these two nice buttons, try it now and deploy. When you try it now, you get this nice dashboard, which is the output of the solution. And this dashboard tells you, well, everything that you want to know about your demand forecasting, about the forecast for your demand. If you press deploy, you get this screen. You can see it's just some process that you have to go through here, these steps. You have to fill in everything that you need to deploy, like your account, etc. And this as well could be just an hour long presentation because you can deploy a full solution. That's crazy, just using a guide to deploy a solution. Of course, next up in the Cortana gallery, we have experiments. And experiments, like you saw in Azure Machine Learning, are just predictive models that you build yourself. And these predictive models in the Cortana Intelligence Gallery, they're pre-built for you. So you can actually open them and learn from them. Microsoft created some, the community created some, and it's incredible to be able to open something, to read a short description about it, and to open it in Azure Machine Learning Studio. This usually takes some time. Okay. So when you have these experiments that you can deploy with just a couple of clicks of your button, of your mouse, you can see how somebody else builds something. And for me, as a non-data scientist, that's interesting because I get to see, well, where should I clean missing data? Why should I clean missing data? How should I clean missing data? Why should I use a mean and not a median to clean values? That's something amazing that you just can't learn just by yourself. Sometimes you need examples. So as you can see, you have this solution. This doesn't say much. Follow a course, follow a training about it, because this really is the future for me. This is great. People can just drag and drop and build their own solutions under the guidance of a real data scientist, preferably. But you can get started by yourself. That's nice. Next up, I'm quite lost here. This is an example. Next up, you have the machine learning APIs, like the Face API, which recognizes faces, like Kimberly talked about earlier, like in the cognitive services. But you also have pre-made APIs that Microsoft built with other data, that companies built that you can just connect to. Any programmer, anyone who can just use Google, actually, like me, you can connect to an API, push data through there, and get a prediction back, which is, that's incredible. I've never seen that before, being able to do data science this easily. Like you said, you just have to connect to an API. That's cool. And lastly, you have the custom modules. The custom modules, like I showed, are modules that are pre-built, like a data scientist at Microsoft, for example, or at your own company, can use some R code, put it into an XML wrapper, which is easy. There is a guide even for it. And you can deploy it either internally or to the gallery. And everybody can start using that. So if you want to see graph closeness, which for me doesn't mean anything, I have limited data science knowledge, you can just use this model. You can download it and start using it, like I showed earlier, with this one, the recommend modules for my data. So even here, it's a full gallery with a lot of modules to use. So
Oh, sorry. Next up, you still have the learning part, which I told you about, is important. Go see this. These are webinars, videos online, real classroom training that you actually can follow in your neighborhood. And that basically sums it up for the Cortana Intelligence Gallery. You have experiments, you have the machine learning APIs, you have custom modules, you have solutions that are pre-built for you. You just have to put in your credit card, basically. And you have learning, which is important, as we saw. You need to have the basic training for data scientists, and you need to have the data scientist with you to actually help you understand what you're learning, what you're practicing. Last up, we have Power BI. Who doesn't know Power BI yet? I see one hand, okay. Come to me afterwards. I'll give you a quick tour through Power BI. It will be awesome. Your world will open up. Because Power BI actually is one of the leaders, one of the two leaders, in my opinion, in the Gartner Magic Quadrant for BI. So it's incredible. That's the short version always. Power BI is incredible. It enables you to just connect to your data, start building with just a few mouse clicks, start building interactive dashboards with just a few mouse clicks. So it's very easy, drag and drop interface as well. And that brings us to the last tool. If you're doing data science, if you want to learn more, we have the Azure Data Science Virtual Machine, which is something like a playground for data scientists because it contains almost all the tools that you would ever want to have on one machine. Just click on it and it starts up. It's nice. Don't forget your credit card, though.
So Jan showed you what the gallery has for possibilities. So you can, it's an easy start for data science. You can learn from it. You can immediately use algorithms that are posted up there. But if it's so well done, what could possibly go wrong? Well, a fool with a tool remains a fool. So let's get started with the horror stories. We first have one. This was this guy who was really sucked into the data, and the only thing he could think about was statistics, data, and it doesn't matter what comes out of it. It's just... So, what did you do? Yeah, it's amazing, but what did he do? He saw for his company that all the red cars, or having a red car, has a 4 times higher probability to have accidents. And this costs the company per red car per year 800 euros more than non-red cars. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So what did he do? Immediately looked at repainting car possibilities and so on, went to upper management, very excited because the results were significant and statistical okay. He presented it and he got laughed at. Obvious, right? What a moron. Not really fair. This is okay, a bit stupid. But if you replace the cars with customers, and if you replace the customer maybe with emotions or with gifts or promotions, this obvious mistake might not be that obvious anymore. So here again, the importance of reviewing and does it make sense? That question is very important. The second story I would like to put out was this data scientist who got the assignment to create a predictive model that predicted who was going to leave the company as a customer. So it was September, I guess. She wanted to have the most up-to-date data. So what did she do? She got the data from July to predict who is going to churn in August. Amazing model out of it, accuracy very high, upper management very happy, deployment very fast, and so on and so on. Great story. A couple of months later, retention didn't go up, but it went down. And more people started churning instead of less people. What went wrong? well, people tend to act differently in the holidays than outside of the holidays. So here again, experience should make you know that if you have holidays, don't base your predictive model only on holidays, but spread it.
Those are actually quite amazing stories. I'm always fascinated to hear them. But this means that even citizen data scientists should be very careful. Like we already said, you need to have the data scientist there. You need to be able to talk with others. You need to be able to discuss whatever you made and see, is what I made good or not? Are the results something that we can use, or are they idiotic, perhaps? But yeah, it starts again with tools, because tools enable a citizen scientist to just discover the data that is in your company without having to jump through a lot of hoops. They can easily get that data, put it into a tool that makes the predictions for them. Of course, it needs a bit of work, but what doesn't? And they can start analyzing the data, start visualizing it, to report on it as well, and to take action on it. And this brings us basically to why should somebody else want to be a data scientist? Because I often hear, after a presentation like this, that BI people, DBAs, they want to become data scientists. Well, you shouldn't want to be a data scientist, because you need to be very smart for it. You need to have statistics training. You need to know a lot of math. You need to be very careful with what you do. But you can try to become a citizen data scientist, because citizen data scientists, to me at least, they are the bridge, the future, basically. They stand between the business, between IT. They stand shorter to either of them than either of them stand to each other. So being a citizen data scientist is a place that you want to be at if you're not trained as a data scientist yet. And start today. Just pick up what you learned today and start going through it. You won't be a citizen data scientist tomorrow, but in 3, 4, 5, 6 months, it's taken me almost 2 years already to get to this point, but you'll get there eventually and slowly. And even after 2 years, just diving into this stuff, I'm still nowhere near a real data scientist, at least not in my opinion, if I look at the work that the data scientists at Dordina do. But pick up these things. Start learning at academy.microsoft.com. Start using these tools, because using them, practicing with them, is more valuable than anything else. And start learning about data science processes. Okay.
Just to wrap up, okay, he might not be a data scientist, but a citizen data scientist. But it is true that if we work together, or we team up, we can do twice as much the projects that normally takes twice as much the time, because I have to do it alone. Yeah, so, true. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Any questions? You don't have to wait until afterwards to come up to us. You can just ask them now, because usually people tend to wait. Somebody's running down.
If you have any questions, please come and see us afterwards.
Yeah. Thank you.